Court is now in session. The Honorable Circuit Judge James R. Ritt presiding, accompanied by Circuit Judge Natalie White, District Judge Brandon Knowles, and District Judge Matthew Shaw.
Thank you all. You may be seated. We welcome you all to this special joint session of Caldwell Circuit and District Court. Very special occasion as we swear in a new judge, the investiture of Judge Matt Shaw. Judge Shaw becomes the 8th District Judge for the 56th District, the 56th District, the judgeship having been created in the late 70s with the passage of the Judicial Act. First judges were Judge Gordon Lisenby and Judge Chapel Wilson. Judge Wilson is here. Judge, would you stand? We'll give him a round of applause. Then we had Judge Bill McCaslin, Judge Jill Clark. And I was blessed to serve as a district judge for 16 years. Judge White, who has served for 4 years as district judge. Judge Noth, who newly appointed and elected for Division I, and now Judge Shalk will be our 8th District Judge, the 4th District Judge in Division II, and we look forward to Judge Shalk's service. Judge Shalk has asked his good friend, our colleague, Judge John Lindsay Adams from Christian County, to say a few words on this occasion. Judge Adams, if you'll come forward.
Thank you, Judge Grant. I would begin with this comment. I love coming to the 56th. It's coming home. Spent a lot of time over here. I remarked earlier to Gio Giordano about being involved in a domestic hearing, and Bill Fletcher was Domestic Relations Commissioner. We took frequent breaks to go behind the facade here to open the window and smoke. That bothered Jill because she didn't smoke, so she'd stand over there so she could see us. Came over, and one of my first appearances in front of my good friend, Justice Bill Cunningham, realized when I got here that I had left my suit coat in Hopkinsville. I was also due in court. So, Danny will probably remember, Mr. Danny Hooks lent me his bright green size 46 long blazer, which I wore here in front of Judge Cunningham. So many wonderful stories. GL, and back in our room back there, he still calls me little buddy, hanging out with our good friend that I miss so much, Russell. Don't drive through here that I don't think of him. And let me stop and say this. You know, if I say anything that's inappropriate, the good thing is I'm pretty sure today I can outrun Justice Nichols. He'll probably be all right on that. This is not about me. This is about Matt. And thank you for asking me to do this. I was so honored when Judge Amy Anderson asked me to be your mentor. You know, you've done this a long time, too. But I look at it as an opportunity just for us to get to talk every now and then. As far as you'd ask me about things about being a judge, congratulations on your retirement, by the way. Sweet picture with the grandchild. I think you're going to enjoy that.
I think so.
You've earned it. You've earned it. I've only done this. I'm starting my second term. Judge Grady Ruff told Judge Jim Adams, the best job you'll ever have. And he was absolutely and totally correct. I love going to work every day. I did as a prosecutor. I love it more now. It's about people. It's about lives. Two or three pieces of advice that I would add. First and foremost, I'm all about yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, how are you today? Because by the time I've done all that, they're not even up to the podium yet. We've had a conversation. It's about relationships. The other story I will tell is this. As much as I love the 56th, I think my father, Johnny Adams, when he was director of PAD, came to love this area just as much. And he loved to go and to see. And I think I just acquired that genetically. But I was in private practice, and I told part of this. Matt came over on Tuesday morning. We did jury orientation. Judge Cutoff and I do it together. It's not the Abbott and Costello show. It's the Adams and Cutoff show. It's funny. And it's funny. The first question I always ask the jury pool is, how many of you would rather be somewhere else? And they all raise their hands and take it from there. about going out to Daddy's and that long day in court and at the office, and I was exasperated. And he said, "What are you so upset about?" James, he said, why are you fidgety? Why are you so upset? And I said, "Daddy, everybody thinks that theirs is the most important case that I have." And he paused and he said, "In oh so Johnny Adams away, it's your job to make sure that they're right." He was right. And see, Matt, the other part of that story, the judge part of it is, you get to do that on every case that comes before you. And again, I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. The one other thing I'll say that is so special about things like this is that things happen every day. It's interesting every day. And so I conclude by noting, Judge Ridge, you may recall that we had a youthful offender hearing in this very courtroom in front of Justice Cunningham. And the air conditioning was off. We were all allowed to take off our suit coats while we had this YO hearing, and it was like a recreation of Inherit the Wind. But, Matt, as far as being a judge is concerned, the best advice I can give you is this. This matters. This matters more. And you got plenty of that, my friend. I'm so proud of you, and welcome. Thank you.
I'd like to take this opportunity to also introduce to you all some of our judges who are here. We have retired Judge Williams from Union, Crittenden, and Webster counties, newly retired. And our Supreme Court Justice, Justice Shay Nickel, who is recovering from some surgery, but he's still working, he tells me every day. And our appellate judge, Judge Chris McNeil from Kentucky Court of Appeals. And you, some of you may know this gentleman here, retired, believe it or not, really retired, circuit judge. If you are a member of our local bar association or a retired attorney in the 56, would you stand at this time, please? We'll give you a round of applause. All of our attorneys and their hard work. Our circuit is a large circuit. It goes from Illinois to Tennessee, from the Ohio River to a place called Bumpus Mills in the north part of Tennessee. And it's a large area, and unlike many district court judges, district court in the 56, we still have family court jurisdiction for our district court judges. We are surrounded, our area is so large, by five other circuits. All of those have a family court, and we don't have family court in the 56. So our district judges have a burden of, and the responsibility and pleasure of handling domestic violence cases, child support, hidden docket, confidential docket of what we call dependency, neglect, and abuse cases, interprotection orders, and also juvenile status offenses that are often in family court, and it adds a lot, a tremendous lot, to the district workload, and we in the circuit court are very grateful for their service in that regard. And Matt has had much experience in all the areas of district court. When he first became a missionary to West Kentucky, he did a lot of criminal work as a public defender. And in his private practice, has handled a wide array of civil cases and domestic cases, handling all the types of cases over these years in district court. And I know that Matt will make a fine judge, and we are very grateful to have him here to serve. And I look forward to serving with you, my friend. So if you are ready, my friend, we'll have you come around and we'll administer the oath. This oath is, many of you have taken it before, it's an old oath, many consider it antiquated, and much of our language involves the whether or not Matt has ever engaged in a duel or assisted in a duel. And this day and age, we really don't engage in duels anymore, where people try to physically destroy their opponent, but many times in this world today, particularly judges sense people trying to destroy them in other ways. And we see that in the political realm where people try to annihilate their opponent's character. And so this oath is particularly important for judges who, although there's not much risk of any of us having had an actual oath or assisted, actual duel or assisted one, in this day and age when our opponents criticize us, the goal is not to remove them, but to listen to them. And judges in particular have to learn to turn the other cheek and to take a chewing on occasion. And I know Matt has the character and the ethics and the work ethic as well to be an outstanding district judge. Do you solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this Commonwealth and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky so long as you continue a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of district judge? And do you further solemnly swear that since the adoption of the present Constitution, you, being a citizen of this state, have not fought a duel with deadly weapons within the state nor out of it, nor have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have you acted as a second in carrying a challenge, nor aided or assisted any person thus offending, so help you God.
I do.
Congratulations, Your Honor. Mary and Anna Catherine to engage in an important judicial tradition of helping Judge Schalk with his robe. Indeed, the whole family takes on the judicial burden.
I never dreamed I would be here. Being a judge is a great responsibility, and I am absolutely and 100% humbled to be given this opportunity, this privilege. People have said, you worked hard to get here, you deserve it. Actually, I've been blessed. I've been given a good work ethic, good values, and a true desire to serve others. I've just taken an oath. An oath is defined as a serious promise that you will tell the truth or that you will do what you have said you're going to do. Oath-taking in a government setting has a history. In Western Europe, oath-taking was mandatory for religious leaders or government leaders. Roman soldiers were required to swear allegiance to their general or to their emperor. Later in medieval Europe, oaths were taken over religious objects or scripture and were sacred in nature. Christians, royalty, and lesser nobles took sacred oaths, promising to serve justly and to protect the citizens or the community. British courts required individuals to take an oath on a Bible. The oath taker would be acknowledging that if he or she lied, no words or good deeds or prayers would bring him spiritual profit or save him from God's punishment. Over time, particularly in Great Britain, all office holders had to affirm the religious doctrines of the Church of England when taking a sacred oath. In 1787, when the Founding Fathers were drafting the United States Constitution, they rejected some of the legal practices of the British system of law. One thing in particular was that of the religious test in an oath. Our Constitution requires that officials be bound by oath or affirmation, meaning that there is no religious restriction placed on office holders. The United States would also not require an oath taker to pledge allegiance to any one person or monarch. Instead, an oath would include protecting, defending, and/or upholding the Constitution itself, which is the governing instrument set out for the good of all citizens. The oath I took today not only includes supporting the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. It includes statements like, be faithful and true, execute to the best of my ability, and according to law. These are pledges made to the people of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, to our community, to each of you. It's a contract, a solemn promise, and a pledge. I am sure that you have all heard the phrase, a person is only as good as their word. Today, I've given you my word that I will do the very best I can to be a just, fair, honest, patient, and respectful district court judge. I've been given a great gift, a privilege to be a public servant, the privilege to help make decisions in matters where individuals cannot, the privilege to be fair and unbiased, the privilege to listen and to hear, the privilege to educate, to encourage, and to be compassionate. I was blessed to have been raised by good parents, Karen and Earl Shock, who are here today. I had a great childhood with them and my two brothers, Chris and Patrick. My brother Patrick wasn't able to be here today, but my brother Chris is. Our parents raised us to be independent, instructed us on the value of hard work and the importance of not only doing a job, but doing it well. I credit them with giving me the foundation to be a husband and a father, and giving me the support and encouragement a son needs to be successful in his adult life. I can't thank them enough. I also would like to thank my wife, Mary, who works hard every day for our family, as you can see. We've been married for over 11 years. She tells me all the time how proud she is of me. Well, I'm proud of her, too. She gave up her career to raise our daughter, Anna Catherine, and to support and encourage me every day. I wouldn't have been able to take that oath today without her help. She worked extremely hard helping me with my campaign this past year, that very difficult write-in campaign. She's my partner in life. She makes me better. I could not imagine this world without her or our daughter, who I absolutely adore and who is on the loose. As she is. I hope Mary and I can pass on to her the gifts that our parents have given to us. I'm honored to have so many judges here today. I appreciate you all being here. You've already been given a round of applause, but I'm going to ask everybody to give them another round of applause for their service. They're not only here to support me, but to show the importance of the judicial office, the office itself. I've been before each of them many times during my time as an attorney over the past decade and a half. They are all very good at what they do, and I am confident that I could reach out to any of them at any time, and they would be happy to share their knowledge and wisdom with me. I want to thank you in advance, because I'm sure I will be reaching out. I want to thank my family and my friends who took the time to drive or fly in. Their love and support has truly been a blessing. I want to thank Honorable Brandon Noth and Honorable Jennifer Nelson, both of them for being models and showing how a good and respectable campaign should be conducted. I want to thank everyone here today, especially those who supported me all through 2022. Mr. Hughes, Scott and Sherry, the Barbers, Mr. Blackburn, Mrs. Gray, Miss Malone, the Clarys, the Joneses, and so many others, I couldn't possibly name everybody. I do, however, want to especially thank Mr. and Mrs. Oliver, not only for their help, thank you, honey. Not only for their help throughout the last year, every event I had over the campaign, they were there for practically everything. in every tent, every parade, stuffing envelopes, doing all sorts of things for the campaign for me. One day, it was getting close to the election, but it was in the early fall. They were leaving my office one Saturday after we had been working in, I forget which county we were in, but they were walking out the door, and I remember stopping them. And I asked them both, I was like, you know, why are you doing all this for me? Why are you helping me so much? You give up your time. I could never repay you for all that you've done to help me in my campaign. And they looked at each other, and then they looked at me, and one of them said, because we believe in you, Matt. And that's something that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. I'm humbled, I'm honored, and I'm blessed to have been given this opportunity, this privilege to serve. Thank you and bless you all. There's a reception downstairs in the fiscal courtroom, so you all are welcome to partake of coffee and donuts.
Unless we have any further business, we'll stand adjourned. Thank you.